Okay, good morning. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting back to order. Still present is Co-Chair Brooks and Co-Chair Van Beek. Might make note that on the longest day of the year, we chose to put IT and the TCA on for the budget hearings, just so we could get it all done in a day. That's kind of a joke. But anyway, good morning. And we're ready to hear your presentation.
Okay. You know, this is for our fiscal year 2025 and budget. And we have done a PowerPoint presentation that in the beginning it explains the divisions within the trial court administration and their roles. And then for fiscal year 2024, it was a good year. We celebrated National Adoption Day, and Judge Tucker, I can't remember who the other judge was, but there was 13 completed adoptions for that day. So, you know, these children got a permanent home, and most of them were from child protection cases. We had jury appreciation in May, and local businesses donated gift cards, much to the credit of our jury commissioner, Christina Jeffs, who, you know, solicited those businesses, and we were able to give those two jurors who came in and served. And there was other things that we had purchased for them to let them know how much we appreciate them doing their civic duty for the courts and serving their community. The Honorable Gabriel McCarthy was appointed to the district court bench and he was appointed by Governor Little in February of 2024. Our Marshall Division trained all the trial court administration staff for the Run, Hide, Fight training, and I believe you guys participated in that. I'm not sure if you did it in the same time frame as us, or I think you guys, the board was the first ones that they presented to and did the training for. Our treatment courts graduated 35 individuals who completed all the phases for mental health court, DUI court, felony drug court, and juvenile drug court, and veterans court. During the judicial conference in September and the magistrate conference in May, we host trainings for court clerks and our judicial assistants for the entire district here in the courthouse. We always have good attendance. We have Idaho Supreme Court, the administrative office, subject matter experts. They come and present, and then we use our local staff who also presents. The outer counties very much appreciate having this training, and it's a good time to do it because court is not scheduled, because most of the judges are at these, the majority of the judges are at these conferences, and senior judges are just covering the necessities in custodies and mental health hearings, etc. So that has been a success. I believe this is our third year doing that, and each of the counties pay a fee to the TCA office to help assist with the costs of, we feed them lunch and have snacks, and they help cover that. Christina Jess, our jury commissioner, has in fiscal year, I think it started in 2024, started asking jurors if they want to donate their fees and mileage. That has been very successful. We are on track for the end of fiscal year 2024 in September. Our projection is we will collect $35,000 in revenue. So that has been, it's new. That will help us enhance services to the jury and just get things that will enhance. Like right now, we're on day 26 of State v. Dalrymple trial. And, you know, it will have, like it will help assist in having things in the jury room to make, because they're here all the time. And when they go back there, hopefully get some more comfortable, like tables, some furnishings. And so that's our goal with that, in doing that. We have used some of that revenue for training for staff. And it's just been unanticipated revenue. So that, we're very proud that that started, and hopefully we'll just keep, it'll keep growing. And what's the next? Okay, so that is a donated jury fee. That's all right.
Chairman, Vanina, can I just make a very brief clarification? So I think on your jury fees, not to get too far ahead, you're requesting a decrease. So it's really a cost avoidance. And so when you're referring to it as revenue, I just want to be clear, it's not on the revenue line. It's really a cost avoidance.
Mm-hmm. Because we're not paying it out.
Correct. So lest there be any confusion, I just want to point that out.
Okay.
It's not revenue in the sense of how we book revenue. Yep.
And on our jury, speaking on that, for the projected amount requested in fiscal year 2025, I think we need to increase that. What I did not, and I don't know if we're too late, but what I did not take into account is we're going to have a new prosecutor. We currently have 9 murders pending. I do not anticipate that. I anticipate we might have more trials, especially when it comes to murder cases. Even though, you know, for example, with the donated jury fees and mileage, we're really confident we're going to continue on an upward tick. But that's a guess based upon we're looking at the past and how successful it has been this fiscal year. But in talking to the jury commissioner, the projection of, I believe it's 74,000, I think it was 900.
Yes. It was like about a $25,000.
Yes, because we
decrease.
Used to.
Do you want to keep that at 100,000?
We were going to ask if we could raise that to 90,000.
90, that's up to the BOCC.
Yes. So
this is all preliminary workshop. Are you okay with that adjustment?
Yes. Yeah. You okay with that adjustment?
Yep.
Thank
is 90 too conservative, or is that?
No, I think I did met with the jury commissioner. She's the one that brought this to my attention.
Okay.
Yikes, I think that's too low. So that's on me completely. Right. I did not take into account with our new prosecutor coming on and probably less murders. More murders going to trial and maybe not going to mediation.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. with the next slide, let's see if you can go to the next one. Okay, so the first, number one is equity pay adjustments. We have asked for an equity pay adjustment for our court assistance officer. He's been here, oh my gosh, he's been here, I believe, over 20 years, and I don't believe he is to the mid salary range yet. I need to get that in front of me. And then we have a staff attorney. We have asked for an equity adjustment on. I believe that amount is around $1,500 based upon his, we base that upon the date he graduated from law school. And at the time, compensation for attorneys was based upon their graduation date from law school. That was a few years ago. And somehow, his graduation date, he was compensated at a lower level. And we had talked with HR about it last fiscal year, and there was no movement. So we just want to make that correct with that adjustment. Because we have other staff attorneys who graduated the same year, and his this position is lower. The increase we're asking for is roughly $1,800.
So I'm a bit muddled. You're going between graduation date and bar date. And I think everything else is on the bar date, because you can have somebody graduate not necessarily pass the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as a general rule have considered that only on the bar date.
Okay. And when, and I was going based upon the last communication I got,
okay,
from the when the compensation committee was in place.
Ah, okay.
And so I can get you the bar date and on that comparative, if you would like me to.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we've gone through bar dates or years of experience in that position. Those are usually the two rubrics.
Two rubrics, yes.
Okay.
So if we could look at that.
Yes, no, that's no problem.
Yeah.
The other equity pay adjustment we have is for, and we have put in a position title change. It's for one of our marshals, who has really served as a deputy chief marshal. He does a lot of the administrative tasks, does not have the title, but he has been the number two in the division, and there's 17 in that division. We just are asking that we change the position title. I worked with Bosco. He came up for the salary of what it would be under that new position title. And he told me to put it under the equity pay adjustment, and that is approximately $7,016, if that is approved. We have another staff attorney that has been here 11 years. He is also not in the mid-range of the salary. So we asked for an equity pay adjustment for him to be paid at the mid, and that adjustment is approximately $6,500. Our court assistance officer, his increase, to give you a figure for an equity pay adjustment, is roughly $8,000. He has been with the county for 22 years, and with the increased population, his responsibilities. He started out part-time, then it went to full-time. He's been the court assistance officer since the inception of court assistance, and we just want him, are asking that he would be moved to the midpoint of his salary range. Okay. New positions. We are asking for a new position, full-time jury clerk in the jury office. And currently we have the jury commissioner and we have a half-time position, and we're asking for one full-time position. The classification that the Human Resources Office gave for that position is a grade 11. And we have in our PowerPoint just the contacts that substantiates this request. Last year we had the most jury trials we have had during the fiscal year. This year we are under that, but projecting, we've also had more lengthy trials. As I said, the Dalrymple case is on day 26 and it's still not done. The jury office, I believe the they're just answering the phones alone. It's not unusual to have answer, you know, 87 phone calls in one day. Or to call people, if you're checking in a jury, they're going to a voicemail. We are having a new jury software system that the state of Idaho, we're in the phase of getting that and going through the training, which will assist in terms of less mailing, less return mails, but that office with population has really grown and we need another full-time position. So the jury commissioner can have to do less clerical matters and concentrate on things that can build that office and expand it in far in terms of services.
Chairman, and what I think I hear you saying is you're keeping the halftime, you're adding, so she'll have 1.5 employees under her.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
The other full-time position we're asking for is in the court assistant's office. That is another office that just with the growth, it's constantly busy. The contacts have increased dramatically. And we have two full-time positions. And I believe in the PowerPoint, there is a court assistant's office contact sheet.
Yeah, right there.
Right there. And you can see just monthly where it is. It is really, this is on a monthly basis. So in, like in March, it was up to 1,000.
So commissioners, to clarify the data here, we did have a computer crash that lost half of our data for the mid part of, or mid to end of 2023. So this data does compare the first 5 months of 2003 with the first 5 months of 2024. We didn't want to make up data and give you guys incorrect numbers. So we just compared those months that we had full records of.
I believe it. When I walk the halls for a break or an exercise, seldom is the time that there isn't somebody in there.
Exactly. And waiting out in the hallway.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. The other positions we're asking for is in our marshal divisions. We have two marshals who work 30 hours a week and they're classified as temporary. We are asking to bring them full time. And then we're asking for two additional part-time. We have 19 courtrooms. We have 17 positions. Not all of them are, the majority of them are part-time. And this would enable us to have a marshal in a courtroom on every court proceeding. They also man the Zoom booths. They assist people in the hallway, finding the clerk's office. They replenish the courtrooms. They do a lot of customer service and navigation in this courthouse. And with court security, we need an enhanced presence. We get these emails from Justice Bevan, and it's about court security issues throughout the United States. And unfortunately, as everything else, there is increased violence in court security. And it makes, for example, the marshals, sometimes things get through the front door that shouldn't get through the front door. And so they are highly qualified, highly trained, and we just don't believe this is something that we can neglect. We have, over the years, built this division, and it's very, very important for safety purposes.
So point of clarification, you're asking for two additional full-time?
Yes, they're temporary right now, no benefits. They work 30 hours a week, so we're asked to bring them full-time. And then the wish list is two part-time in addition to that. And part-time would be 19.5 hours a week, and we would not have any classifications as temporary. Okay. I believe that is all of our new positions. But the one before that. Maybe not. Okay, staff training. I, in regards to staff training, we have put in our budget for the training of four staff members. We have asked for training for our judicial assistants. They have never been on, they have never attended any type of conference, or the only training that they have had opportunity to attend, and sometimes it does not work with their judge's schedule because we can't have all four gone at once, is a clerk's training in October. So we projected out, we were thinking of possibly some training in Odyssey, or we have not found what type of training we would like to send them to, but we would like to have for them to have opportunity for professional development. They're all four of them are long-term employees, and we felt there was a priority for them this fiscal year. So we don't have the training identified. I know that Jess attended training in Oxia, and it's something we want to talk to him about, you know, and see what the opportunities and what type of training would be for fiscal year 2025.
Do you know what line item on the budget that is? Just out of curiosity. I'm a bit muddled. I'm on the district court, and there's a training line.
Correct.
I guess it says education and training. It's 546610, but it's going down in an amount of close to $1,000. So I'm confused.
Bring that up on the district court.
Not to put you on the.
Sorry, Chair. I just swapped over to kind of the itemized list now, so we can look at those items.
So how we projected our training requests was. We have different line items. This is in the district court fund. And we did, it's kind of spread out with registration, hotel, taxi, airfare. And so it isn't all one lump sum.
Okay.
How the power plan is set up.
Sure. Okay, so that would make sense.
Yes, so I will put on my glasses. Okay, so do you just want me to go line item, just basically in regards to the B budget, line by line down the district court fund?
Well, I know one of my commissioners love it line by line, but I don't. Could you just do the highlights? I'm being facetious. What makes sense for you? We don't need to go through it line by line. We can interpretate the numbers fairly well.
Okay.
But just narrate for us what the significant changes are and a little bit of narration behind that.
Okay. Significant changes in our budget this year, which caused increases with the county public defenders now going to state public defenders October 1. So we I met with Aaron, and we took line items out of that what was in the public defender's budget is now in our budget. So it's a doctor evaluations, and that's $150,000. It's the psychosexual evaluations, projected $40,000. We also left in our capital crimes expenses. That's always been in our budget for $10,000. It's a deductible, but I project that won't be in our budget at the start of the fiscal year. I think the state public defender will have that in their budget if they're still going to do the capital, if that fund is still going to be something under state public defender. But I left it in there because I did not receive any communication from the appointed state public defender regarding that light item. So it's basically there as a placeholder.
And I just interrupt you. I think that's critically important because I think this currently is a moving target, and we're worried that we put line item budgets in for this. The clerk got a communication, late last week, that was like, oh, really? It's not the way the program was sold to the state, and now they're pulling out items that says, yes, it's the county's responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, if you're comfortable putting it in your budget, I'm comfortable to do that also at this point. But I think that we probably should get together with the clerk and with that communication and make sure we line item those items that they said, oh, well, the county's going to pick that up, not the state.
Okay.
So I don't want to get through into a new year and not have a line item for it.
Yes, I agree.
There's this $500,000 for the host state on expenses, and it'll be on a first come, first serve basis for reimbursement, and that's a drop in the bucket of what the actual cost over the state is. So it,
yeah, for the guardian ad litem.
Yeah, that specific one. Yep. So
yes.
it's not going to be pretty.
No.
Chairman?
Yes.
And look forward to us round tabling this a little bit more, but I pulled up the correspondence here, and it's good to hear that you talked to Aaron. But how often does, because the guidance we have is if the agency, meaning public defense, requests a psycho eval, sexual eval, substance abuse screening, it's going to be covered by the state under the guise. But if a judge requests it, then it's
county.
The cost of the county. So how often, and maybe this isn't the time to ask, I mean, how often does a judge request it where the public defense is not requesting it on behalf of their own client?
Well, I think the judge, and I have staff attorney Kaylee, do you want to speak to that? The judge orders a psychosexual.
Yeah, almost always.
Almost always.
Yes, because
okay.
We have to have
a. That's going to be a cost for us.
The order can vary. So, defense counsel could prep the order. But, for my judges specifically, Judge Petty and Judge Whitney, the judicial assistant, in my case, me, prepares that order for the judge.
Yes, because the judge. For lewd and lascivious crimes, sexual abuse of children, I would say majority of the time the judge will order a psychosexual evaluation.
Yeah, even if the charge is being reduced to an injury to child.
Yes.
If it started out with that.
It'll still be there.
So.
Because he needs that information in term, he or she needs that information for sentencing purposes.
Follow-up question. So who's, dumb question I should know, who's paying for that right now?
The county in the public defender budget.
In the public defender budget.
Yes, that is the projected cost of that annually.
No, wait, but it's in the public defender.
It's $40,000.
So, okay, gotcha. So even though a judge orders it, it's incurred currently in public defense. And
yes.
Aaron, did Aaron give you this number, 150,
yes,
and then 40?
No, the 150 is for something different.
Oh, yeah.
150,000 is for doctors, for, I think, psychological exams, psychiatric, it's for 18 to 11s, mental health type. And that was the number that Sarah and I both talked with Aaron, and that's his projection. The other line item, it, that was in the public defender's office, public defender's budget, that is, we've been told is coming to the counties and in, to put in our budget is court reporter transcripts. And that's projected at 38,000.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So the judge ordering these evaluations, is that pretty consistent across the state?
Yes.
Not just our district. Okay, so SPD is pulling a fast one on this.
No.
No, it's consistent because...
No, but what I'm saying is, so if it's been in the public defense budget and the state's taking public defense and then kicking this one back to us as the... They're trying to save themselves some money, so that's extremely frustrating. That needs to be brought up.
Yes.
We will, Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, we will have to, unfortunately, redo what we thought the fiscal effects would be of the transition on.
Yep.
And because, the state has sent us a certain amount of money to fund the budget with the excess being carried by the county, and it's sounding like a lot of those items will still continue to be carried by the county. And we don't have the corresponding levy, so it's just putting... there used to be an indigent public defense levy,
yeah,
which was removed. And so the state's going to stop sending us that piece because mm-hmm. they're taking over. But these ongoing costs, which will only go up every year in the future years, is has to be squeezed within our budgetary capacity.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was paid by the county, regardless of whose budget it was in. In the past, psychosexuals, doctors, transcripts, they were always in the district court fund. And when Doug Tyler was our trial court administrator, he had those transferred to the public defender's fund. I don't know why, but regardless, it was county dollars that paid for those expenses.
Okay.
Matter, a line item in our budget is the reserve. Over the last 2 years, there has not been any dollar amount in the reserves. And the previous practice was always 50,000, then we lowered it to 25,000. So I talked with Sarah and we restored 25,000 under the reserves.
Which line item is that?
54,8900.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Westlaw, that is a projection, the 17,000. That number will come from the administrative office of the courts. They invoice us for that, and we pay them, but I don't have that number. Last year was 15,800. As you can see, it's pretty much steady and stayed the same. Then it kind of dipped, and then it came back up. So I just projected that at 17,000, but that is my guess. It will be less than.
So can I go back for just a second to the reserves? I thought I heard you say that you would want it at 50 and it's only listed at 25.
No, I said in the past we asked for 50,000, but this year we're having it
okay.
at 25,000. Okay. Sorry.
No problem. It's like making my palm sweat that there was a 25K. Not enough. Okay.
Chairman Benita,
thanks for your patience with me. I'm new. I think the contingency reserve line item can only be in the current expense fund and the justice fund in the statute.
Okay.
I'm not aware of it, an allowance for the district court fund. But I need to research
that.
You
need to research it?
But I know for sure current expense and justice, and it could be not to exceed 5% of the total budget up to, mm-hmm. so basically a holding place to be determined how it gets expended. But it would still need to come before you for resolution to tie the strings on the what it gets applied to,
okay.
but just having this reserve line item in here, I'll have to do some research.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Dad.
Well, it had been budgeted in 21, so either they were illegal or
But it's
having fun.
Nothing was expended though, but you're right. It was budgeted.
Yeah.
But the actuals, yeah. You know, because your savings elsewhere in the under the A and B.
Yes, I don't think we've ever dipped into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that'll be interesting, Clerk.
Okay.
Yes. And line items 55-44-45, 55-44-46. They are, of course, they are if we get the positions under the marshal.
Right. Yeah.
That's associated with that. Our small office equipment, it is, you know, it's higher, I believe, than in years past, or I thought it was under the, I'm sorry, it's our computer equipment. It is, that is, speaking of the state, with our enterprise jury management, we are responsible for providing, is it two scanners?
Yeah, two scanners.
And printers. We also are asking for two laptops with docking stations. Of course, one associated with our new employee, if that is granted. Small office equipment, which is 577-120. That is for, we received those numbers from the IT division regarding copiers that need to be placed, okay, replaced next fiscal year. I think that is everything that I see as somewhat being outside the norms.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
On line item 684240, can we move that up into 577-100? Because those were really capital assets.
Sarah. If Sarah approved it, it's done.
I was just channeling Sarah.
I'd like to, if you don't That's mind, nice. I'd like to make one other
point. Oh, that's me. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's. I thought it was us.
I'm not going to answer this.
It's a scam.
It's from New York.
You might have won.
Hold on. I'm from New York. Maybe someone's looking for me. Sorry. Carry on. Sorry about that.
What is line item number? Meals. Can you
meals?
Speak?
Yes. Yeah, I was going to ask.
Not jury meals, just meals.
Well,
but
or
I
so,
talk to
like when you guys are.
Yes. Okay. So the line item 545501. The request is $3,500. That is for
the training thing, right?
Yes, for the Magistrate Commission, for our legislative gathering in December. And if there we have a new judge, judicial counsel, or magistrate judge, those are all reimbursed by the state. We also put in the projection of that would be if the Supreme Court came out and did oral arguments here, we would host lunch for them. So, but the majority of that would all be, we submit invoices to the state of Idaho and they will reimburse.
Okay.
And then Mr. Chair, just remember last year we split those out. It used to all be jury meals and then actually meals, then we split it into jury meals.
Right. Yeah, we did that last year.
Yes. Sorry to create more work for you. We have the opportunity or the ability to do a hospitality line item, which we actually unlocked for the BOCC to make a distinction between per diem meals and ordering in a catered meal if you're hosting. Like it sounded like some of the items that you discussed were hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like that distinction. So from the financial control standpoint, when we're processing claims, they know clearly per diem goes to this line item, but you'll just need to tell us at that $3,500 how much you think would cover hosting, and we just pull that out and put it into a hospitality.
And for our other per diem meals, the only one, they are under the training. I did a projection for training what per diem would cost, but that, we did, otherwise we did not do.
So this does not cover per diem?
No.
So you had meals under the training?
Yes, well, for example, if they were to travel and yeah. they got a per diem and their meals would be covered under that.
We prefer that it's under meals.
Okay.
So it's all cost neutral. We'll just make sure we clean up.
Yes.
Some
okay.
of the codes, the object codes. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I
can do that.
Good. So this would be hosting then. It sounds
yes,
like.
it's hosting.
All of this. Okay. And then we'll use the meals line to pull out of the training what you anticipate the per diem cost
yes.
to be. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So is there questions, comments? Go ahead.
Any questions thus far?
I have one more question.
Sorry, I'm really caffeinated this morning. the two part-time to full-time on the marshals,
yes.
did you mark that up with the health benefits through the
yes,
benefits calculator
I got those
that we
numbers
did?
From,
okay.
Sarah may be a boss. I believe I got the health benefits numbers for Sarah, yes. But
okay.
temporary to full-time.
So they're full numbers.
Yes. Gotcha. Thank you.
Yes.
I just assumed after yesterday.
Don't assume.
Okay.
Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
All right.
If you're ready, we could
yep.
Do you want to do the treatment courts next? Is that, or we can just go in order of the PowerPoint. I'm not sure what.
In our packet, it's family court services. Was
okay.
There you go.
Okay, so.
So it came out of the printer at least. All right.
So with, can I use your?
Yes.
So with family court services, as you can see, our request is $10,000 less than it was for fiscal year 2024. Our revenues for our main revenue is, actually our revenues is $10,000. So I apologize for that. And it's mainly focused on children's class. And our revenues just are not as high as they have been in the past, in part because if somebody files for a divorce, custody, and they come back in to modify. Sometimes the judge doesn't order the focus on children class again because they've seen it. And they're less than they have been in the past. Almost all of our expenses, our total expenses are below what they have been. In the past, Chris Paulson, who is our family court services manager, he has, I mean, it's very obvious, he runs a lean, efficient machine. A lot of it is online, they access. He's done very well in utilizing the state funds that we receive and he builds up against for mediations and it's just less expenses going out. And I met with him and he was very comfortable with this request. He is here if you would like him to come to the table and if you have any questions. He has really, we don't have, in the past we had a part-time employee, but they were like a contract. And he runs it all by himself. We don't have that anymore. And that is one of the largest expense items that he is, you know, he did not fulfill that position. Okay. Fill that position.
Any questions on this? Very good. Very refreshing. Thank you.
Yeah, close to $22,000 change.
Yes. And we understand societally this may change, but we'll accept it for this year.
Yes. The next is our court device fund.
Okay.
that is really healthy. It does not, it just keeps building year after year. People are assessed, people that receive DUIs are assessed a fee. And we use that for the interlock device. If a judge, it's mandatory, you have to have an interlock device if you are convicted of a DUI, and people will fill, the judge will do an order, and then they will apply with us if they meet the criteria according to the federal poverty guidelines to help them with payment. And this is the fund we use. We have, it's, I can't remember the total amount. I got it for Sarah, from Sarah, of what we have, but it is, we project like around, I'm trying to think of our projections. I'm trying to look at this, but I believe it is like over $150,000, yeah, in our general fund.
176.
It was, yeah, at the end of April.
We don't have Maze yet, or it's
okay.
So yeah, your fund balance is healthy, and monies stay in this fund, commissioners. So, and it, the way we've, you'll notice here in the last L2, we haven't levied dollars into court device, and the fund balance has carried it. It looks,
yes,
like for several years.
Yes.
Yep.
In the past, there hadn't been a lot of requests. Since Aaron has been public defender, it has picked up, which is good because it's a safety issue for people and helps them assist with being able to drive and get to work.
Email services. Chairman?
Yes.
The deduction of the eval services and miscellaneous personal services, is that just part of the movement elsewhere? I mean, those are big.
The history of this fund, and it was when Dan Kessler was trial court administrator, we had a full-time county employee that did DUI evaluations for all people charged for a DUI, and he was, his salary was paid out of this fund. That position was dissolved because this fund did not have the revenue coming into it that supported it. So we dissolved the position, and now it is used primarily for interlock device, if someone has to have electronic monitoring, we pay for it out of here that is convicted of a drug or alcohol offense.
So the budget's inflated then, as like you see, and you're bringing it more in line. Because going back to 21, you've brought in more revenue than the actual expenses, even though,
yes,
like 21, the budget was $140,000, you spent $2,600.
Yeah.
And then 22, the budget's $140,000, you spent less than $8,000. So
yeah.
I just didn't know if there was need to have this buffer, kind of, but you're kind of washing those down to zero, and you're okay with that.
Yes.
Okay.
And Aaron got the message like, hey,
yeah,
it's here. Ask.
So if you incurred a major cost that's not covered, then we'd have to do a budget amendment, which is,
mm-hmm,
a slight hassle. But and then we'd have to use fund balance to apply to an incurred need. So the only benefit of keeping it really high is if it's a once in a decade, you incur this big cost. But if it's only a once in a decade thing, then I'd prefer a budget amendment than just inflating the budget, because the budget's been really inflated.
Yes.
And so it looks like you're authorizing expenditure of a lot larger amount of money that you're actually going to spend.
Yes.
So this would be more accurate to lower it down, as she's suggesting, but I just don't want to then be coming for a budget amendment 3 months in if you anticipate something that might hit in the next fiscal year.
It can only pay for certain things under the statute.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, in Idaho code, there's a statute that governs what can be paid out of here. So I don't anticipate that we would just have, you know, a big, huge cost based upon that. Yeah. Okay, the next is court facility. I met with Ricky on this. We are going to, in fiscal year 2025, it's our hope to remodel courtroom 315 on the third floor, get and bring it into ADA compliance. And Ricky projected, Ricky gave me the numbers to put in there based upon what he thinks it will cost them. He thought maybe it was a little high, I think it was 80,000, but that way we, you know, we just are projecting, because we'll have to buy with this money, we will buy the chairs and, you know, to outfit the courtroom. And so I don't know when Ricky can get to that, but the plan is for fiscal year 2025. And it'll probably be during the winter that he will, the facilities crew will do that. We save so much money. We save so much money with those guys, as you guys are so aware.
It's ridiculous. It's wonderful. Yeah.
I mean, comparatively, we were at admin conference in January, and Ada County was talking about a courtroom they did, and it was $1.3 million. So I think
we should hire ourselves out.
Yes.
I think at that time, ours were 26,000. Maybe that was a TCA office. Wow. So we are very, very fortunate that we have our such a great facilities crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fund balance is really healthy there too.
Yes.
300,000.
Okay. All right.
And with the facilities fund, we've been able to use that to buy, like for instance, for the trial court administrator's office this fiscal year. That's where we paid for all of our furniture for out of that. And to buy if an employee needs a new desk or for our staff attorney's office, the remodel with that, that was paid out of the facilities fund this fiscal year. So I think there's been good management of that fund. And yeah. Do you have any questions? Okay.
Go on to the next one.
Well, next, Laura is our supervisor over the, Laura Denner's supervisor over the treatment courts. So she is going to take the baton.
I will take treatment courts. I think I have mental health court up first. And I'll try to run through these relatively quickly. Mental health court, I think, has the biggest change of all of the treatment courts. As the commissioners are aware, we went through a change in how payments are processed through the treatment courts. They were previously charging for drug testing out of their office that wasn't being processed through the Odyssey system. It really didn't align with statute the way that we had hoped it would. And so we've really streamlined the payment process, which is going to reflect a little bit of a reduction in the fees that are being collected. So the revenue line items for all of the treatment courts are projected to be slightly lower. I also think that, I mean, we were talking about some of that budget inflation. I think some of our revenue line items were pretty inflated in several of the different treatment courts. So I really tried to adjust for that, knowing that we may see a little bit of overage in the coming years as those fees start to self-adjust a bit. And that's my hope, is that those will start to go back up, but I didn't want to be consistently under the way that we have been the last couple years as well. So we do receive state testing funds and operating dollars from the state. That pays for our coordination expenses and most of our testing. The reason that we're asking for additional testing funds from the county this year for mental health court specifically is because we're actually serving an additional 10 clients and have been for the past fiscal year. So they've been able to float that through the fund at this point, which I haven't met with the clerk recently about that fund balance, but the last time we discussed it, yep, also very healthy. And I think his numbers still reflect that. So that fund has been self-sustaining, and we're just hoping to add some of those drug testing costs again to continue to serve those additional 10 clients. We are hoping to create an additional diversion court in the near future, but the funding from the state hasn't come along for that. And so with the increased population, and I think we're all well aware of the mental health crisis statewide that's going on, we think it's really important to continue to serve those clients and support that court as we're able to. The other, I think, increase that we're requesting is just we're asking for an increase in incentive funding for, I believe, all of the treatment courts. That number hasn't increased in over 5 years, I believe. Again, we're serving additional people in the court. Incentives are a big part of how those courts operate. It's really rewarding the good behavior and trying to change to positive behaviors, and then sanctioning the negative behaviors that don't align with the court rules. So those requests are simply in regard to inflation and understanding that everything costs more now than it did 10 years ago or whenever those funds were last increased.
Chairman.
Yes.
And thank you for the information. We were scheduled to conclude our budget presentation at 11:30, not a problem, except that I scheduled something after this. So I am going to excuse myself, but a board quorum will be available and I will go through your documentation. Thank you.
Were there any questions about the mental health court increases?
Be safe.
I think that's straightforward. Thank
yep.
you.
And the rest should be fairly similar. Drug court, I think, was one of the treatment courts where we saw the kind of the biggest inflation in that revenue line item for fee collection. I had talked to Ron, who's the drug court coordinator, and also our district manager. And we aren't exactly sure where those numbers came from in terms of fee collection. And so I did reduce that by a pretty significant amount, again, hoping that once those fees kind of level out with the priority of payment schedule, that we'll see an increase again. But I think this projection is more realistic for what we're looking at for revenues. We aren't asking for any additional county funds for drug testing through drug court. Ron has made a concerted effort, as have all of our treatment court coordinators, to try to keep those drug testing costs within what the state provides for us currently. And we've worked really hard on that over the past year to stay within that budget. I think Ron's actually low this year, which is great. He's done a ton of research to look at the best in-house testing cups that we can use for instant testing. And then we're really working on only sending out for confirmation testing when it's absolutely necessary. So he feels like we have really good equipment currently. Our drug testers are doing a great job for collection. And they've just saved the county a significant amount of money from prior fiscal years. So proud of those efforts on their part. Any questions on the drug court?
No, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Nope.
Okay. Misdemeanor DUI court is another one of our treatment courts. Again, we made an adjustment for what I think is more realistic for the fee collection. With their court, they are a bit under this year, but DUI court is actually one of those courts where people tend to be gainfully employed from the outset. They pay their fees consistently. So I think we will see an adjustment there, but we did adjust the fee collection down for their court. I don't know that there were a lot of other changes for them.
Okay. All right. Veterans Court?
Yeah, Veterans Treatment Court is our next. Again, there was an adjustment down for fee collection, but Veterans Treatment Court is another one where most of the participants are gainfully employed throughout the program. They're great at paying their fees consistently. It's a program expectation that Judge Beaver takes very seriously, as well does their coordinator, Sue, so they've done a great job. We had a line item that was the 548416, the Veteran Support Fund. We aren't entirely sure what the historical purpose of that line item was. And so we just want to reallocate that into their incentive line item.
Okay.
From my assumption, those were probably similar services being provided, and they haven't used that in quite a while.
Well, clerk, if you could look into that and see if there was any documentation laying around.
A lot of credit card charges.
And that's where I think it was probably just their incentives being paid out of that line item just under a different name. So for consistency's sake, I would rather just move it to incentives.
You okay with that?
Yep.
Yep, we're good.
And then they did add an office supply line item just to distinguish those charges, if any, from the other treatment courts. They were historically kind of mixing and matching because we share coordinators, but I would rather them just be distinct between the courts so we can really track those costs.
Perfect. Yep, good. All right.
Juvenile drug court is one of our smallest treatment courts. Usually we have 5 to 6 participants in it at any given time. There is no fee collected from those juveniles since that would be a punishment on the parents. And their parents really do a lot for supporting that court. They are expected to attend court with their child that's enrolled in it. We do have some revenue from cigarette tax that, you know, we have no control over. The UA expenses are entirely covered by the state and are very low at this point. And so really the only requests there are meals, as there is a kind of state expectation or requirement for treatment courts to meet twice annually as a team to staff how the court is going and make any changes there.
Okay.
And I believe that is all of the treatment courts.
Wow, that was fast. Could you represent some of the other budgets if you're that succinct and quick?
I would love to. I actually love budgets, which is very nerdy.
Oh, shoot. That's great. Clerk, do you have any questions? Oh, yes.
I apologize, Commissioner. Benita just triggered my memory. We did make one request on juvenile drug court.
Okay.
Mentioned.
All right.
Historically, there has been a mentor in place for juvenile drug court, and that was paid through the Department of Juvenile Corrections through the state, but they have actually reallocated that funding and told us that that's not an allowable use. Mentorship's super important for our juveniles, and so we did request $15,000 for that court to cover the expense of that mentor. We've worked with a gentleman named Hakeem for, gosh, 10 or more years at this point to mentor the juveniles. Usually there's 3 to 4 male juveniles in mentorship at any time. A lot of the reason that our juveniles end up in that court is potential gang affiliation, criminal activity. And so that positive mentorship is imperative for those kiddos to have that strong figure in their life that's teaching those pro-social skills. So we are requesting that the board support that request, if at all possible, to kind of counter the state reallocating those funds.
Yeah. You always like it's funded mandate.
Yep.
Chairman.
Yes.
How did you arrive at the $15,000 number?
So we met with Hakeem and looked at historically how many hours have been billed for juveniles. There will be, you know, some variance in that, but we think that's a good start based on what he was telling us, the hours and the number of kids he's working with in any calendar year is.
Okay. Gotcha. Just this being a very small, confined budget, like, this is just one where if you, like, 3/4 through the year hit that, we would be like, you can't spend any more money, or they'd have to do a budget amendment.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's way it operates now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Clerk, do you have any other questions?
No.
I'm not going to ask if you have any comments. I'm just asking a question.
No question.
Did you see anything we missed?
I'm good.
All right. Any questions for you?
Just got a lot of reading to do now.
Lots of reading, yes.
All right.
My presentation was succinct, but my written version is not, so I apologize.
All right, well, if that is okay, then let the record show. Are you okay with showing that we're gonna accept this as a draft and we'll move it along in the budget process?
Yep.
All right, let the record show that. All right. Is there any other questions or comments before we would close?
No.
Thank you.
Hearing none. Thank you. Very, very good presentation.
Thank you.
Let's be adjourned. Thank you.